everyone, and welcome to episode 95 of season 11 of Movie Around Minute, the Daily Podcast, where we curry our way through the 2001 HBO award-winning miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today, in order to finish off her stint, is Heather Baxendale of Word of Hellmouth. Welcome back to the show, Heather.
Thank you for coming back, for inviting me back.
I've been on the show a lot.
Yeah. I think the many of your shows that I've been on, I think this one is maybe my favorite.
Okay, so that leaves us in that's a great segue for us to ask the question that I've waited 2 days to ask you, Heather. What is your background with Band of Brothers?
My brother is a Marine. And around the time that this came out, he was serving active duty, and my family also big history buffs, big military family. So watching military movies growing up was just par for the course. But this was a different experience entirely, and I couldn't watch any war movies when my brother was in Iraq. I couldn't watch any of them, which I think probably other military family will understand. I couldn't at the time. So I didn't watch this until he was out of the Marines and he was home safe. But he'd watched it many times at that point, which he still watches it yearly. Like, he does his diligence and sits down and watches this yearly. Rob and I were talking about in the last episode that he's watched it with the whole entire thing in 24 hours before. I don't know how you guys can do that. It's incredibly impressive. But I remember having an experience watching it. But I think at the time I was still a bit too raw. And I've wanted to rewatch it, but I don't think I've been ready to rewatch it. So when Rob told me that he was going to be covering this in his next By the Minute, By the 5 minutes, I was really, really happy because it gave me motivation to sit down. And let's be honest, we suffer through it. And that's kind of the intention of it. So to experience it now with almost, it's been probably close to 20 years-ish. I remember buying my brother the VHS box set. He still has it decoratively in his house.
You mean the metal one? The metal one with the accordion discs?
Yep. It was an experience, and it was a profound one. I also was telling Rob right before the show here that, you know, I'm not a crier. I don't like actually cry. I have tears, but I'm not a big crier. There were multiple times during my entire rewatch of this where I was sobbing hysterically, and I even at one point voice noted my dearest friend having my opinions about war and all of the tragedy of life and being human. And she's like, I can't watch war movies. Why do you do it? And my reason is this. I didn't do any of these things. I made none of these sacrifices. But these men are gone now. And all that's left is their stories. And they shouldn't be forgotten. The most I can do is honor them. The most I can do is bear witness. And if I can't sit through the 10 parts of this and do that, then maybe I don't deserve to have all of the freedom that I do as an American woman. Because I sit here right now because of the sacrifices that they and men like them have made. So it's the very, very least I can do is bear witness. And hopefully I can pass those same things on to my children, and hopefully other people are willing to sit through the discomfort of what you have to watch here, because they lived it. We're just sitting here in the safety of our homes. Well, some of us are.
We're all sitting in the safety of our homes.
But yes. But I feel like that is the very, very least that I can do. And I think that we all should watch If there's a war movie or series that should be watched and viewed,
Okay,
it's this
I
one.
totally agree with you on that. Are you also a fan of the Pacific and Masters of the Air?
I again with the Pacific, that's one that I'm going to watch next week because I haven't seen in forever. But no,
Okay.
not the other. Yeah, so.
Don't worry, it's not my next season. So
I know what
you
your
might
next season is.
that shh, quiet.
I'm not
Quiet.
saying anything, but I know. I know something you guys don't know.
You've blurted things out in the past. Stop, stop, stop.
That's totally fair. I get excited and enthusiastic. Also, sometimes I don't know if you've already. When do you usually let your listeners know?
I let the cat out of the bag the day before it debuts.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Jay and I talk about it in the final episode, and the last thing I talk about is what the next season is. And by that point, I usually have a good, 6 to 8 weeks already recorded, at that point. So
That's awesome. Haha, guys.
yeah.
I don't know. I'm very excited. It's going to be a good one. And I say nothing else.
Thank you. That is appreciated. Right. So you started saying about the Pacific.
Oh yeah, same thing. I haven't watched it in forever. And frankly, I don't think that I was entirely sober when I watched it before, if I'm being completely honest.
Okay, so I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on it when after you watch.
Yeah, the plan is to start this week.
All right. Enjoy. That's the only
Thank
thing
you.
I can say. And what about Masters of the Air? Have you ever seen it? Did you watch it?
Nat, I have nope, that one I haven't seen.
Okay. All right. I recommend you watch that one too. It's again, all three of them are very different. So like I have trouble comparing them, but I have no trouble saying that Band of Brothers, in my opinion, is the best, of the three. That doesn't belittle the other ones, because Band of Brothers set the bar very, very high.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily fair to compare much to it. I think at least in the movies and things that I've watched, the closest thing to it would be Saving Private Ryan, as far
Exactly.
as
Well, of course.
scale,
I mean,
realism.
there are connections between the two, obviously. There is Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg, took the idea from the idea, first of all, the idea of Saving Private Ryan has a connection to Band of Brothers because one of the Nyland brothers was best friends with Skip Muck, who was killed just a few episodes ago. So there is that original connection also. And that was it was believed that that was part of the reason why Richard wrote it. When he wrote the story, he based it on this whole thing with the Nyland brothers. So there is a very strong connection between the two. And then obviously because Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg had such a great and fun time doing Saving Private Ryan, they decided let's do a mini series, about Band of Brothers, similar to what they did with Apollo 13 and then did From the Earth to the Moon, the same idea. So it's just very cool the way that they did that. And so yeah, there it makes sense that this is as close to Saving Private Ryan as possible from that perspective. And again, it goes back. I can even take it all the way back to my season three when we talk about Die Hard. Die Hard, when they made Die Hard, they created this new genre that nobody has ever been able to top.
No.
In the nearly 40 years, in 38 years since it came out. A lot of people have tried. Even friend of the show Graham Yost, who did Speed, so he came very close. I'll give him credit for that.
It's in the same
Yes,
wheelhouse,
of
but it's
course. It's
not,
completely in the same
but
wheelhouse,
it's.
and anyone who missed my discussion with Graham 2 weeks ago, he actually even explained how he thought of the idea of Speed. So you can go back and hear that too. And so yeah, sometimes when you have something that's so groundbreaking, like Band of Brothers, like Die Hard, and there are many others that fit that mold, it's hard to top it in the future. even if you come close.
It is. And the good thing is it does start sometimes a trend, and you do still get good content from it. And you do still get good movies. Like Speed is a it is such a fun movie. It is such a fun movie. And at the time upon its release, it was relatively unique in its way of storytelling and all of those things. I was obsessed with it for a while, for longer than I should have been, to be completely honest. But I think part of it was because it did stand apart in that capacity. But 100%, it wouldn't have existed if there hadn't been Die
That's
Hard and there hadn't been even Lethal Weapon. There's a
right. I just
lot.
rewatched
There's a lot of.
the entire quadrilogy of that the other day.
I love Lethal Weapon. I am a Lethal Weapon girl. Ugh. Love Lethal Weapon. It's one of my favorite franchises on the planet. It's so much fun. It's so good too. I don't know. But yeah, so there are so many, I guess you could say, like the grandfathers of these kinds of stories. But I don't think that anybody's going to ever be able to top Band of Brothers or Saving Private Ryan, to be fair, also. I think that they stand alone. And maybe they'll inspire down the road some different form of war epic to be seen or observed. And I mean, I don't know if we'll ever see it in such a raw way though, because I think that's what is so exceptionally done here is the mix of the brutality of all of it while still showing the humanity. That balance is not easy. It's not easy to do, and it's done masterfully here.
I completely agree with you on that. All right, so episode 95 begins with the convoy continuing to move forward and ends with the end titles of episode 7. So you see, I apologize, Heather, that you're sort of getting shortchanged because you don't even get a minute here. You get 39 seconds. That's pretty good. I mean, most of the end episodes of each of these parts, have been a little bit longer. I'm pretty sure this is the shortest that we've come across up until now, if I remember correctly. So I do apologize for that. But on the other hand, we'll still find what to talk about. I have every amount of faith in both of us that we're not going
I
to
do too.
shortchange everyone
Well,
else.
no. And I think that it's even though I mean, technically we only see, less than a minute here and they're just walking away. But I think the conclusion of this one is each part is very much so and uniquely its own. And I really enjoy that it's kind of centralizes a different character in each part too. I really, really appreciate that sometimes you know that they're going to not make it to the end. Which also, when you get a character that seems newer or whatever, like eight, I think that's when
Yeah,
Webster
Webster
comes
comes
in.
back next episode. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is a situation where the shift is they're leaving some of the hostility and you think that the worst is over. But there's three more parts, and each of those parts signify that it's never over. Maybe some of the big battle sequences are over. Maybe some of those big moments that people talk about and know about are over. But I think here is this really, really lovely transition of we're leaving this particular field, but, and this is also where people might think that the story is
Correct.
done. And I think that's kind of what they delve into. It's not done. Everyone is celebrating that they've succeeded and they've done this and that, but it's not over. There's still people dying and there's still
That's
people
right.
fighting.
It ebbs and flows.
It's just not on the same
I like
scale.
thinking about it that it ebbs and flows along the way.
So I think that the way that this one ends, you get a sense of closure. But the fact that they're still walking and going somewhere, but you don't know where. They don't know where. Like you said, the foreboding. We've learned enough to know there are worse things that are going to
Correct.
happen yet again. And we should feel hopeful at this point, but no.
Well, again, that's part of the whole idea of Band of Brothers is, are you supposed to completely feel hopeful or not? You're hopeful because you know that eventually there will be men that have survived because you've seen them with the talking heads at the beginning of every episode. So you know that there are some, but you don't know who they are. That's part of the genius of the idea,
Exactly.
because you really don't know what who it is. You might get a little idea here or there,
And
but you're still not sure.
I think it's also really impressive, especially when you first start part one, is there are a lot of bodies. There are a lot of people to keep track of. And the intention of military, particularly, infantry in its beginning or when you're in boot camp, is to assimilate and all look and be the same. One is the same as another. So even identifying the unique personalities while they're all in uniform all the time, it's sometimes difficult to tell who is who. And I think that the characters are so well defined that by the time you're into part two, that no longer exists.
Exactly. Very true.
Like, it no longer exists. Yeah, you know who everybody is. Sometimes it takes a minute, like in the moments of battle where there's the chaos, you can't tell who is who in those moments, but that's also intentional, I think, because even the men can't tell who's standing next to
That's
them
right.
at
Which
certain
is also one
points.
of the reasons why I'm trying to remember if it's Graham or maybe it was Eric Bork, who is another one of the writers that we will that will be well that we're going to hear. Everyone will hear his interview in 2 days from now. That part of the idea was is there were a lot of scenes where they had men without their helmets on so that you can tell who they are.
Yeah,
Even though
which
they knew
I'm
that
grateful
that
for.
isn't what they should be doing, in those situations, but it's for the viewers.
Especially like in part seven, there like the entire tone is gray and then white. That's Snow White. So it feels black and white, which visually does make it more difficult to identify the characters. But like Rob said, a lot of times they have their helmets off when maybe they wouldn't have otherwise, which by the way makes me very anxious whenever I see it. But I'm anxious every time I see any of them because I don't ever trust that any of them are safe, and I didn't remember what so many things that happened. There were moments, but like overall in details, no, they've been long since gone from my foggy 44-year-old brain. So, yeah, so but you would get one line from one of the guys, and maybe you wouldn't remember exactly what their name is, but you know who they are. You know who they are in relation to each other and the story and what their role is. And because of that, we care about each of them. I think like in the moment with I love this part with because it is Lipton centralized. Words are hard. I like the moment where he where they're getting incredible artillery landing on them and taking trees down in the middle of the night and everything's gone to crap. When he laughs at first, that moment of like disconnect because he's thinking of his childhood and fireworks and all of these things. I think that was probably my favorite scene, or at least one of my favorite scenes in part seven, because it humanized the moment again. It wasn't just he was just a soldier there losing his mind. It humanized the moment. He was a person having real thoughts, memories from being a kid, and like the juxtaposition of being in warfare, mixing it up with one of his happy moments of being a kid. Yeah, that was hysteria
Yeah,
is what that laugh
exactly.
was.
Because
So
fireworks,
yeah, so they're walking away at the end
that's
here.
right.
Yeah. Well, that's why we talk about in the United States, we talk about, being conscientious of veterans, particularly around the 4th of July. Unfortunately, people in my neighborhood are not. But I think that's something to take into consideration for certain. Because all of this is what they take home with them.
That's right.
All of this. Like we watch all of this, we're bearing witness, but these men had to come home to their families and then try to live a
That's right.
normal life afterwards.
Yeah. And again, right now, as we're seeing the trucks move away, so again, they're, as you said, they're giving us time to mull over that these guys are about to have a little bit of a break, and then we get a quote on the screen that says, "Beyond the wounded and killed, every man at Bastogne suffered. Men unhit by shrapnel or bullets were nevertheless casualties." Stephen E. Ambrose. So again, it's straight from the book. The whole idea here is that just because guys weren't wounded physically doesn't mean they didn't take things home with them. And again, that's part of the whole idea of Easy Company. That's one of the reasons why Winters and Luz and all these guys created the whole, and Garnier created the whole idea of having reunions every year, that these guys had a place to discuss and let out all of these emotions. We know that numerous, some of these guys, very hard lives after this, whether it was drinking or just anger issues or whatever, because of everything they went through. They didn't know how to process everything that they went through. And the fact that they had this ability once a year to go and let things out with guys who understood them, is something that helped them for many, many years, for decades. I mean, come on, they had they, these guys were going to
Yeah.
these reunions for, I don't know, I think it was almost it was nearly 60 years before they decided that they were going to stop because it was just getting to be too difficult because of their ages.
Yeah.
Where they passed on the torch
Yeah.
to the next generation to keep going and keep having the these. I mean, this year they're having the 80th anniversary of it. I mean, that's just amazing. That
Wow.
it's something that's still been going
Yeah.
on for
Yeah.
so long, and the fact that it's been, I think it's actually only been 13 or 14 years since they stopped, since the men themselves stopped going. Trying to remember what George told me. I think he said it was in 2012 that the guys just basically said, okay, that's it, we're not doing it anymore. Maybe it was a little before. I don't know. But again, they had these reunions for over 60 years, and it was just amazing. This was a way for them to deal with things. Because they from the people that I've talked to, so everyone has already heard the stories from George Les Jr. They've heard the stories from Jean Garnier. They've heard the stories from Chris Langlois, who was the grandson of Doc Rowe. They know that these guys just didn't talk about it with their families. They waited to talk about it with, their brothers in arms, once a year, or through letters, or whenever they met up with them or anything like that. So yeah,
Well, and who else would
it's time.
understand it? Like we can watch, we can listen, we can hear, but we don't understand it.
No.
And actually, I love that. I love that they did that. My brother does that with some of his guys. There's three of them at the core that meet usually once a year together, and get together sometimes with their kids or whatever. But they still do that too. I think it's necessary. I think it's healthy, and I think it's a really, really good thing. And it also makes me think of other war type movies that actually do address the PTSD that these men have to deal with. And I think one of the ones that actually does it the best, and I don't think that's the reason that people like the movie as much, but I think that Hurt Locker does a really, really good job of showing exactly. Jeremy Renner's really, really great in that role. But I think the part of the movie that stuck the most with me was when he returned home and how difficult it was for him to adjust, and how difficult that life was. And I have lots of friends that have military husbands too, and they explain that it's hard when they come home after being deployed sometimes for their partners. So yeah, imagining the horrors that they experienced, and then having to go back to normal life.
Right.
Yeah, I just can't imagine it, because we've watched this journey from start to finish, and the progression of these green young men in part one to where they are now, which, as you guys listen in the coming episodes and parts, you are going to really see
Right.
what
Exactly.
it cost them.
And so after we get that Ambrose quote, we get another quote on screen from Dick Winter. First of all, I like the fact that they hold these quotes on screen for quite a long time. We get a good 10, 12 seconds of each of these quotes.
It gives us slower older people time to read it.
And then the second quote is, "I'm not sure that anybody who lived through that one hasn't carried with him in some hidden ways the scars. Perhaps that is the factor that helps keep easy men bonded so unusually close together." And that's Captain Richard Winters. Now, the really amazing thing is that in the book, this is put together in one paragraph on page 181. It has first it has Ambrose's quote, but it doesn't quote him. It's just it's just was it three sentences as Winters put it, and then it has Winters' quote right after that. So I like the way that they took this entire paragraph, broke it up into two quotes to show us, the suffering that these men went through, the repercussions of everything that we've just
Yeah.
watched, over the last, 3 weeks of talking about this particular part, when they were, dealing with stuff in Bastogne. So yeah, it's a lot. So yeah, I like the way that they do that. It's very, very cool. And we then get that quote on screen for a good 8 to 10 seconds, and then that one fades out also, and that is the end of part seven. So Heather, do you have anything else you want to add about this particular 39 seconds or anything about Band of Brothers in general?
Yeah, I will just sum up my experience. I know I talked in the other episodes too about maybe this being required viewing at some point in school. I think if there's any war movies that are going to teach us humanity and where we've come from, I think this one and probably Schindler's List, we should have those too.
Yeah, I don't think it's going
But
to happen though.
I don't know. I don't know if
I
they
do
do
agree.
anymore. I'm very
I
curious.
do agree, but I don't think that'll happen.
I agree. I'm always asking my youngest now, because everything is so different with what they'll teach kids and what they won't. I'm always asking him what he's getting in his history lessons, so I can give him the full story. I want him to know. He's been asking me, "Are you watching more of your war show?" When he gets home from school. The one day I picked him up from school, and I kid you not, guys, I talked about crying. It was one of the days that I had been bawling hysterically, and I looked at my watch and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I have to go get him from school right now." And I'm in Michigan, so and it's still winter on some days and spring on some days here.
Yeah, that's
So
I'm very familiar with those March days of Michigan.
yes, because our good friend Rob here grew up not too far from me.
Just a few miles away.
Just a few miles away. But yeah, so it's very gray and cloudy, and I put on my sunglasses to walk to the bus stop, not the bus stop, the school, to go pick him up. But yeah, I think this should be a required viewing for everybody. I think we all should stop and listen and watch from beginning to end. It is painful, it is difficult, but I think watching this kind of thing will actually make you a better person. I don't know any other way to say it or think it. It's the truth. I think if you can't watch this and not find deep empathy in your humanity, then you should seek therapy immediately. Yeah, I say what I think.
Okay,
It's
that's fine.
incredible. It's incredible.
Yes, I totally agree. All right, excellent. So now we will go to today's segment, which is all about brothers. It's called Oh Brother. So Heather, why don't you give us your
Oh,
top five
yeah.
movie brothers?
This was hard because there's a lot of brothers in movies, and there are brothers that are antagonistic towards each other. That would have fit in here well. Like, I thought Thor and Loki are a really good example of that. But I decided to stick not also I discluded blood brothers, and I discluded antagonistic, so I could narrow it down more because I couldn't narrow it down at first.
Okay.
So here I am with my top five movies with brothers. Number five is Legends of the Fall. Also a really difficult movie to sit through, and also uncomfortable if you're watching it with your grandparents when you're, I don't know, 8 to 11, 12. But this is the movie my
I
grandparents
can't
put on.
understand why.
Yeah. Like 8 to probably 12, we would stay with my grandparents for a week every summer up in Grayling. And this and A River Runs Through It were on constantly, which I love them both, but no, Legends of the Fall with grandparents. Okay, Legends of the Fall, number five. Number four, Rain Man. I love Charlie Babbitt and Raymond. I don't know how that's aged. I need to revisit it. Number three, From Dusk Till Dawn, Evil Brothers, One Bad, One Extra Evil. Number two, Boondock Saints, Connor and Murphy, All Day Long. And my number one favorite movies featuring brothers is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I am talking about the original. It still holds up. It is wonderful. Go watch it. You probably should watch it after you've watched the series. It will cheer you up.
If it
That's my
works, why
list.
not?
Yeah. I love Turtles. I love one and two, and they are not guilty pleasures. They are wonderful movies. They still are great.
Excellent. All right, and now we will play the daily game of Name That World War II Movie. So we're gonna once again tell Heather about a movie she's never seen. Let's spin the
So
wheel
far,
and
I
see where
haven't
we go.
seen either of the ones on this, so
That's right.
maybe I'll know this.
That's right. Okay, this is a movie from 2002 about a special unit of soldiers during World War II, which deal with code breakers. And it's a movie that stars Nicolas Cage, Adam Beach, Peter Stormare, Noah Emmerich, Mark Ruffalo, Christian Slater, whole bunch of people there. You have any idea what this is?
Is this Windtalkers?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Oh.
There you go. See? Excellent. Nicely done. Nicely done.
Thank you. I remembered the actors that were in it, specifically Nick Cage in that one. And it came out like in a bubble of a bunch of other war epics around like that same timeline too. So I think A Thin Red Line maybe around that
Now that
time.
came out in 98.
No. No, yeah, see, I'm thinking of, what am I thinking? There was still a bubble of war movies that came out around this
Yes,
timeline.
Excellent.
Got it.
All right. So, would you like to once again tell everyone where they can find Heather Baxendale?
You can find me at heatherbaxendale.com. All of my goodies are there. You can find my social media there. I'm mostly active on Instagram. You can find my books there. I write science fiction, fantasy, adventure stories, and they are fun but epic and long. you can also find links to my podcast and other podcasts that I go on there. My podcast is Word of Hellmouth, which I co-host with my very good friend Mark Armstead. We are rewatching Buffy episode by episode, breaking them down. We're currently in season four, which we are now watching in tandem with Angel season one as the two do crossovers. So if you're into Buffy, check us out. We are on all of your streaming platforms, and oh, I'm having so much fun with Mark. This has been nothing but a
That's the
joy.
way to do it. Definitely the way to do it. All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, find me on Instagram, find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieroundminute@movierob.net. So, Heather, once again, this was so much fun having you on again. So, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me on. I love coming on here. I've been looking forward to this.
All right, and I look forward to seeing you next season. You know, with whatever
Absolutely.
movie it is, we're not going to tell anyone. You
I don't know anything.
know, just I know you. Just get busy. That's all you got to do. All right. So I will be back on Monday with another interview episode. But until then, have a great weekend and crazy.
Bye.